Before I start this month's reading, I wanted to talk to you very briefly about two things that I'm working on that you may be interested in. The first one I have already advertised in my newsletter and is up on my site, and that is the alchemical read. But I wanted to add one more thing. What I've said is that it is a live Zoom reading, and there are going to be eight of us, so seven guests and then me, and we will all participate in a reading, the format of which is yet to be revealed. If you are drawn to it and you have no tarot experience, it may just add that key ingredient that the reading needs. So please sign up if you're interested. And if I get enough demand, I will be putting in extra dates later on in the year. The second thing is that I am in the process of launching a website that is focused on tarot reading, but more from a socio-personal political point of view. Not politics as in what's going on so much in specifics, but rather to do with where the personal and the collective meet. Also to do with cultural symbolism, and that is archetypalist.co.uk, archetypalist.co.uk. It's a slightly different take on the cards, and I'm starting with the majors and then going through to the minors, and we'll just be bringing out a post relatively regularly to do with how the card can relate to everyday life and where it turns up in its different forms in everyday life. So keep an eye out for The Fool, who will be dropping in the next day or so. And now on to the reading. Hello and welcome to the New Moon Tarot reading for the new moon that fell in early morning, early-ish UK time on this, the 1st of February. For those of you who want to go straight to the reading, then feel free to use the chapter markers and go to card number one. For those of you who are still listening, welcome to those who are new to the reading, and welcome back to those who are familiar with the reading. I'm just going to give a quick rundown on the card positions. I always do three cards. Sometimes I'll draw a fourth card that's a clarifier, but that is not that often. But the cards always have the same positional meaning. So card number one is the foundation card. It is associated with something that has happened in the past. It could be the far past, but it will also have a recent echo as well, or it could be something relatively new. But either way, it paves the way then for card number two, which is the theme for the month. And when I say for the month, it will have a particular kind of peak over this month, or it will arise this month, but it may not be, again, entirely new. It may be the revisiting of a theme, but it will always be revisited in a new way. And it may not all, it won't subside after a month. Everything it becomes part of your life, whether it fades back or it stays prevalent for a little while, it's always there, even if it is below the surface of your awareness. So that's the second card as the main theme. And then the third card is the tool card or the agency card. And that is the card where you are able to interact meaningfully with the theme card. You can't really interact meaningfully so much with the foundation card because that's already happened. We have very little control over that, obviously. But with the theme card, it is a way that you meaningfully connect into the theme in a way that is specific to you. Even if, you know, we are all getting the same third card, it will have a specific relevance to you, a flavour like no other. So I know that it's quite, I think some people find it a little bit weird that you can do the same three cards that can have relevance for many people. But they do, and that, I think, is a lot to do with synchronicity, but also to do with how it chimes with the particular person that we are, our history, our personality, our memories, and what it is that is making up our psyche, our emotions, and our own spiritual approach to life. And I am now going to go straight into the reading because I have three cards face down in front of me, having shuffled and cut and dealt from the deck. So, card number one. This is the foundation card. And this is the Emperor. The Emperor hasn't actually appeared for a little while. And it's interesting that the foundation is a major arcana card. So this is to do with, well, it can be an archetypal, quite ordinary, mundane situation. So the Emperor can talk about taking charge in some area of your life. But it will also be reflective of a certain quality that is coming through your life that has in some way laid a foundation for what it is that you are going to experience this month. So the Emperor is associated with Aries, and that would be no surprise for those of you who know astrology, because Aries is the I am sign. It is the first sign, it's the ignition, it's the thing that starts everything off. It requires a lot of oomph to it. It requires a certain focus and directedness and assertiveness to get things off the ground, to get things moving. It's also a highly individual card. In other words, this is not the collective watery Pisces, which comes at the end of the zodiac, but rather this is the sparky ignition that is felt on a very personal level. It is a personal defining card. And that is nothing if not the Emperor. So the Emperor in some way has been a moment where you have been called to, or where you've been, where you have needed to, or where you have, or all three, step up and lay down a particular set of laws that will define how it is that you experience life and also how it is that others will experience you. When I said it was an I am card, it is I am this, I am that, I am for this, I am not for that, I am going this way. So it is very much to do with making your way, staking your claim in the world, in your particular world as well. I was just thinking there's a very Two of Wands quality to the Emperor. That idea of dominion, which is what the Two of Wands is called in this deck, it is about asserting your authority. And the Emperor asserts authority in the secular world. So whereas the Empress is really about the cycles of nature, the natural world, the cycles of the planets, you know, the cycles inside us, circadian rhythms, the seasons, the tides. She is everything that is to do with our bodies and then the body of this planet and the body of our galaxy. The Emperor is to do with the man-made world. In other words, the world of making one's way through life, of rules and regulations, of asserting authority over a particular domain in your life, but also in a certain way over others. So the Emperor can be, the Shadow Emperor is a tyrant. So the Emperor will always have those two sides. And well, every single tarot card has the shadow and the light side. And when I say shadow and light, it's not about good or bad. It is simply about what resides in awareness and then what resides out of awareness and in the unconscious. And I will very often say this, but Jung said, if we do not make the unconscious conscious, it will direct our lives and we will call it fate. Well, I am paraphrasing there. But essentially what he's saying is that unless we are aware, or we make it our work to become aware of the shadow side of ourselves, then it will in some way run the show, even if we're not aware of it. And sometimes, in spite of our best intentions, sometimes because of our best intentions. So very often, a dictator will come into power because they do firmly believe that they have the best interests of people at heart. I was speaking to somebody the other day and saying that the regimes that have come up in the past that have oppressed people, have killed people, have controlled people, I don't think have ever been run by people who sort of waggle their fingers like Mr. Burns and cackling to themselves, that they've managed to bring evil to the world. I think that that actually what is more dangerous is that they believe that they are in service to good. And the emperor can become a tyrant when it is about power at any cost. So there is something here about the balance between staking your claim, asserting your own authority over your domain, which can be as simple as making a decision one way or the other about what it is that you want or what it is that you don't want. Or it can be as complex as a way of approaching life differently, a way of approaching others differently, with that then, has it's not just one simple decision, but rather it's about making decisions that have multiple impacts. And as I said in my introduction, this is going to be particular to you. And it doesn't, whether it's simple or complex, doesn't mean that it's any less or more important. It's just simply the you flavored part of, how the emperor is activating in you or through you. But one of the things to bear in mind then is that fine line between asserting your authority and then asserting authority at any cost, or at a cost that perhaps is one that where you find yourself compromising out of your original vision. In whatever way that compromise looks, it may feel like you're compromising, or it may be that you are compromising others, or that you have become compromised. And that feels very important to say that, and I'm not entirely sure why, but it's almost as if the dark background in the emperor and the fact that one side of his face is, it's like the dark side of the moon, one side of his face is not there, that we can't see, it will not have light on it, or it doesn't have light on it to us, that is also present in the reading. And therefore, I think that the true emperor, the true ruler, the one that is able to bring in that balance, holds the awareness of both sides. And the figure in this card wears this ermine cloak or some kind of robe, which has those elements of darkness in it. It is as if he has embodied the balance between the two. And there is an inherent sort of, not warning, but an inherent underlining of that idea of where it is that the darkness is ignored and is not worn, is not able to be assumed as part of one's identity. So authority in one form or another. This is a major arcana card. So it is also quite difficult sometimes to get to. It's not as immediately, it's not an archetypal everyday situation. The emperor is one of the more personal major arcana cards, so he is slightly more accessible than some of the cards that come later in the majors. However, there is something here about paying attention to how the emperor may have shown up recently, or how the emperor has shown up throughout your life, and in what different forms he has shown up. So I'm referring he because this is very obviously a male figure, and I always see him as a kind of Jimmy Stewart figure. But the emperor is something that has defined your life, and it may have defined your life only recently, or it may have defined your life in different ways throughout your life, but it has become active recently. And that is paving the way then for card number 2, which is the theme for this month and beyond. And that is, another male ruler, the Knight of Discs. Now, what was interesting to me is when I was looking at the Emperor, I was thinking he is very clearly, because he's focusing off to the right, he's quite intently watching the other two cards. So I wonder what they are. Whereas now here, the Knight of Discs is looking directly at us. He is looking at you. This is the theme for the month. There are emperor-like themes to it. The Knight of Discs is the king in many other decks. It is not the knight in the Waitsmith version, which is one of the younger core cards. The Knight of Discs here is at his highest expression, the individuated masculine or yang energy of discs or pentacles. So one of the things that stands out in this card is that he is wearing a circlet around his forehead, well, a double one, and one of the words that is on there is healer. Now, discs are to do with pentacles, discs are pentacles, they are to do with physical things, they are to do with matter, they are also then obviously to do with the body. And there is something here, I think, about the Knight of Discs' ability to bring some kind of equilibrium into the physical world that will also have an impact on your own physical body. Healers, though, are I would again look at a more general view of what healers are. It may not necessarily be a healer to do with the body. It could be a healer to do with the mind, to do with communities, to do, well, I mean, you can think of anything in the physical world where a healer can work their particular kind of magic in being able to effect a kind of integration. What I also notice as well when I look at the card is that there's quite a lot of money on this card. There are dollars along the bottom. There are coins at the top. This is not, and then there's also corn. So there's natural things as well. There's kind of nautilus shape. So there's something here about the world of man and numbers and, you know, mathematical things, but also the world of nature and the way that they are inseparable in certain ways. So in the world of the Knight of Discs, money is not a dirty thing. It's not a thing that it is very much part of who he is. It is part of the world that he is the ruler of, or at least the custodian of. And so it is about material resources. And perhaps actually there is healing to be done around material resources and one's own attitude towards them. I think very often in certain circles, money is viewed as a dirty thing, or as something that is always quite easily able to corrupt, or is corrupted in and of itself. And actually the Knight of Discs has struck this balance, because he doesn't view, there is no separation between one tangible material thing and another. Money is simply the means to an end. It is simply another form of discs. And it is no less valuable or able to be valued than anything else. There is nothing inherently wrong with it. There's nothing inherently right with it. It just simply is. So if we start weaving the story of the Emperor and the Knight of Discs, they really work very well as a complementary couple, because there is this animation or reanimation of this I am energy that is moving through you, moving in you. It may also appear in external form, whether that is in an individual, in a thing, or in a group, but it will also be active in you, whether you are aware of it immediately or not. But it then is able to pave the way then for the entrance of the Knight of Discs. It's almost as if the Knight of Discs then is that personality aspect of you that then comes forward as a result of having been ignited by the Emperor. Now, the difference, obviously, between the Emperor and the Knight of Discs is the difference between a major arcana card and a minor arcana card, or more specifically, a court card. The court cards are not the same as the numbered cards, in my opinion. They are rather aspects of our personality, and so there are 16 of them, and we have all of them inside us. They are all there, and many of us will favour particular ones, but actually the aim of the game of life is to create as much balance as possible between all of them, to acknowledge that each one has value, and to notice that when one is absent from your awareness, it will not be absent. It will be present, but it will be present more so in its shadow or unconscious form. Again, the use of shadow there is not a negative thing. The shadow is negative primarily simply because what it is that we say is not part of us will in some way make itself known, and it comes out sideways very often. But actually, to be aware of the potential for any of these court cards to come up is to be aware of the multiplicity of who we are. And the Knight of Discs is, as I said, that yang principle of pentacles. It can be very practical, so it could be quite literal in terms of Knight of Discs. The head of a bank, the Knight of Discs, you know, the king of coin. So there is something to do with that there. But the Knight of Discs can also be the ruler of his physical material domain. In other words, he could be a gardener. You know, he could be somebody who works in the garden but has authority in there. And that authority may be self-conferred. Maybe nobody else notices it, but he knows what he's doing. He knows how to work the land. He knows how to find that balance. And, you know, there is nothing more healing than working with nature. So there is something there about the Knight of Discs and how it is that you define it according to how you are relating to the Knight of Discs, and then in turn how it defines you. It will be active in a certain way. Knights are yang, and by yang I mean they are active rather than receptive. They are focused and driven rather than diffuse and with a sense of or awareness of everything. They are able to really go out and get things done, which is the Emperor. What's interesting is that the Knight here is the ruler of a feminine domain, which is discs. So there is there's a lovely balance here of the yin and the yang. And the Knight of Discs is very much in touch with that yin nature of his. So what I would ask you to do is, when you are looking at the Knight of Discs, really look at how he is looking at you and ask yourself what he might be thinking as he is looking at you, and what you're thinking when you're looking at him looking at you. There is a message here. It's a very personal one. Because it's a court card, you are looking in a mirror. This is not about something happening to you. It's not about something happening through you via the Emperor. This is you in one way or another. So as I often invite people with court cards, if you can relate to the Knight of Discs immediately, that's great. Now find the side of the Knight of Discs that you are not relating to. So explore some of the shadow aspects of the Knight of Discs, and I will get to some of those in just a little bit. If you can't relate to the Knight of Discs, where is it in you that he is seeking expression? What is it in him that you have in some way either pushed away or not acknowledged? So there is something here about that very active, very focused, highly focused. I mean, look at him, healer, that custodian of the material domain. There's something there that is for you and you alone. And it may have a very, very specific flavor to it. Some of the shadow aspects of the Knight of Discs, well, it would be anything where it's the antithesis of healer. So it is the person who turns their back on healing opportunities, who turns their back on their own healing. And in that case, then the Knight of Discs with his gaze is almost exhorting you to sort of turn around and look at him so that you are re-engaged with that, with who he is and what he represents. It could be somebody who's lost that balance between the material and the what is natural and what is man-made, where the love of money is more important than the love of nature, of how money fits into an integrated whole. Or the person who says that money is the root of all evil, and would rather push that away and focus solely on another part of the discs, which might be to do with it might be to do with nature, but it could be anything physical. So there is a balance that needs to be had here, and where there is an imbalance that, and you'll be able to sense that through what is lacking or what feels too much, then it is about looking at ways to redress that. And the Emperor can assist in that because it's foundational, because in some way he is the kind of precursor to the Knight of Discs entrance into your life. Then the Emperor is an energy that is available for you to draw upon to reassert, or to say, no, this is not working for me, or yes, this is, or I want less of that, or I want more of this, because it is very much about your building your own world here. So that is your theme of the month. It is a personality-based theme. It's more than personality, actually. It is an aspect of who it is that you are. So rather than having where in other readings there's a huge outer event that happens, the Knight of Discs may come to you in the form of another person. That is very possible. But if the Knight of Discs does come to you in the form of another person, and that person does not necessarily have to be male, then they will also be reflecting a part of you back to yourself. So in other words, if you are seduced by something external to you that very much feels like it's a Knight of Discs energy, what is it in you that you are unconsciously feeling like you are lacking because you are so drawn to what it is in them that you want more of? So it is really a very self-defining kind of reading this month. It's very, very different from January's reading. And then the final card, which is the Tool card. So this is how you can meaningfully connect in with the Knight of Discs. What is it, or how is it that you do that? And this is the Four of Wands, which is completion. What's interesting is as soon as I turned the card over, I thought, oh, it's another disc, because of course there is this globe, or it's almost like a bubble with that sort of the surface tension of the swirls on around it. But it is actually to do with wands. And it is essentially, it's kind of like the world in miniature. So the Four of Wands is really about the completion of one stage and then moving on to another stage. But it's a very specific kind of completion. It is the falling away of something, or the ending of something. It doesn't have to fall away, or it's the ending of something that feels ripe to have ended. It's quite early on in the minors, which is quite interesting. But if you look at the two cards that precede it, the two and the three, you've got Dominion with the second, which is, as I said, quite close to the Emperor in terms of asserting one's authority over one's realm. But then you have virtue, which is the Three of Wands, which is really about staying true to yourself and true to your path. But then you go to the Four of Wands, and by staying true to your path, certain things then reach a completion. They are, it's not that they go away forever, but in that current form, they are done in that form. It's they cannot stay anymore. It's the loose ends being tied up, or the things that simply no longer serve. And as I said, it's not the world. It's not a major life stage, but rather it is a waypoint on the journey where you can sort of put down a particular bag or baggage or whatever it is, and say, right, my energy doesn't need to go there anymore. That's over, because this is one. So this is about libidinal energy. It is the life force that moves through us. It is eros, you know, it is energy in the service of creativity, procreativity as well. So here, this is about in some way conserving energy by saying, right, I'm going to conserve this, and conserving means that you don't spend it in various places. It is holding on to it. All fours are pauses in one way or another. For me, the Four of Swords is a really deliberate and often quite lengthy pause. You know, it can be weeks or months. The completion is the Four of Wands is not so much a pause. I mean, the pause will happen, but it is that as I said, that moment where things just shift. So it's a saying goodbye to something, or tying up loose ends, or that things end. They just end because they're just, you know, they are done. They've just gone to the end of their life cycle, and then there is that moment of transition, that pause before striking out again. And so the way that completion works here, in terms of the tool card that you're using, it is really, to me, feels very strongly about what it is that has reached its not sell by date, but kind of reached the point where you can say goodbye to it. It will probably be an aspect of you where you no longer have to put your energy, where you notice that it's not really giving you anything in return anymore. Remember, this is the Knight of Discs, so this is very much about returns. It's investing, it's getting returns on investment. You know, you think about the Ten of Discs, that is very much about sort of cashing in. We are in discs territory. So with this, it is what is no longer giving you a return, not because it's useless or because, you know, well, it could be. It could be that it's useless. It could be that you've realized after a very long time that it is useless. But for me, it is simply that it has reached the end of the line. It has been useful up until now, and now it's a law of diminishing returns. It might even be more than a law of diminishing returns. It's just that it's just stopped. That's it. So with the Knight of Discs, if you are to embody that yang aspect and bring balance in and bring healing into your life, your world, use that word as loosely as you want. What is it that has completed, that has enabled you to then continue in a different way, or to more fully step into a mode of Knight of Discs? And what is it that that the Emperor, which is another four, is being able to say, okay, that's enough of that now. That's enough. And it is almost by mutual decision. And it may be by mutual decision with you and someone else, or with you and an aspect of yourself, or that the very thing that you've been focusing on it's almost as if it becomes, you know, it just simply falls back. It falls away. I'm just looking at completion again, and also the globe or the bubble. There's something, I find this a very beautiful card. It's really one of the more beautiful cards, and it also never really quite strikes me as a Wands card. I think because the bubble seems to me to be so prominent, and the Wands are sort of not really an afterthought, they're there, but the bubble is prominent. And the bubble for me feels like that idea of it's whatever it is that has that, you know, that you're calling time on is complete. It's perfect. You know, there is something, there is a perfection, even if it doesn't feel perfect. And I think that this is part of, I think this is part of where the Emperor can really come to bear on this, because it is that self-belief and that authority that can put an end to things or can call time on things in a way that that the calling time on it itself is the perfection rather than the thing itself necessarily feeling complete, if you see what I mean. So it may feel, you know, with the without the authority of the Emperor, like whatever it is that is the completion may feel incomplete. It may feel like, you know, there's a part of you that wants to hold on, that wants to leave a door open, that wants to do all of that kind of stuff. But it is the idea of the Emperor that then goes, right, no, that's enough, that's it, it's over, it's done. You see, so it's his authority, it's that Yang authority that calls time on it. It's not that the thing itself will automatically come to an end. So there is this fine balance between that being imperial, being imperious sometimes, and calling time on something that a part of you knows no longer serves, or that has served as much as it can. There is that calling time, or the more watchful waiting around something to see whether or not it's going to complete. So it just depends on how it is that you want to, or whether you want to assert authority in an emperor-like way. But if you do, know that you have the ability to do that. But what I notice with the Four of Wands is that it is a much more ethereal card than the Knight of Discs, which is obviously a very present, solid card. So the Four of Wands is while it is the completion of something, it has a light touch around it. There is something about it that doesn't have to be completed with, yes, there's an emperor side of it where you can call time and you assert your authority, but the completion itself doesn't necessarily have to be announced with grandeur. It doesn't necessarily have to be marked by a solemn or large occasion. It is simply the idea of giving that sort of imperial nod to something that is sort of, you know, backing its way out the door, bowing as it leaves. And that is really then when the Knight of Discs is able to get to grips with whatever it is that is going on, that remains, that is still there. And in fact, the Knight of Discs will be the richer for whatever it is that has come to its conclusion, and will be sort of carried around as a part of him, even though it's no longer active. And so the Knight of Discs then is that aspect of you that then can then get on with things, get on with other things. So I'm trying to come up with an example. If you felt in some way like your energies in your day-to-day living in this world have felt in some way scattered, or at least scattered or compromised, or in some way that you felt like you you've been dealing with vying sets of responsibilities, or that there have been too many things to focus on, this is the time that will be ripe for calling time on certain things to be able to focus on what it is that the Knight of Discs means for you. So where it is that you have, where you've in some way felt like there's been a drain on your energy, you are able to bring to a close certain aspects of that. This is not necessarily about cutting something or someone off completely, but it is about making a conscious decision around where it is that you want to, and around who it is, and around what you want to expend your energy. And if you make that decision that you would rather expend your energy on this than that, because remember, Emperor's choices, I want this, I don't want that, then the energy this month really will enable you to do that in a way that possibly hasn't before, especially because you have the authority of the Knight of Discs, who is really presiding over this, that there's that aspect of you who is able to be kingly about this, as well as, you know, as well as imperial. There is a very much a seatedness in this physical world where you can use your voice. You are able to declare very clearly what it is that you will be focusing on now, and what it is that you won't be focusing on. And what you focus on will be in the service of healing, will be in the service of balance, of finding balance, of achieving balance in a way that you possibly haven't before, and in a way where you are free to assert your authority without necessarily slipping into tyranny, but being able to understand what authority might mean for the first time in your life. And it might not look the way that you thought authority was. And in fact, it may be that the authority that you were used to prevented you from ever wanting to assume authority because you saw what happened when authority was wielded. And this is a much more balanced, more considered, more mature form of authority that can just gently push to one side those things that that just aren't in line with it. They're just no longer in line with it, or that have helped you up to this point and you now no longer need in the form that they were in before. And then you have much more available to you, more inner resources, more oomph, more drive to focus on what really matters to you, because this is about what matters. Matter discs. As ever, if you have any questions or comments, please do send them to me. Keep an eye out for that website that I was talking about. And if you skipped straight through to card one, then I was talking about archetypalist.co.uk. And for those of you who have any questions about the alchemical read that I was talking about, you are curious and want to know more, then please feel free to email me as well. It's sarah@integratedtarot.com. Otherwise, I will leave you in the embrace of the gaze of the Knight of Discs for this month. And I will speak to you at the next new moon. Take very good care. Goodbye.